Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Large Old Cup. My name is Corey, and you're here with me now. So, I had a very interesting week in that I had a lot of time off work. I've basically been off work since the 19th, and I do not return to work until the 2nd. So I still have a few more days off. And the objective of this time off was to essentially take some time for myself and work on basically just kind of getting out there. I've noticed that there's a lot of stuff going on in my neighborhood that I've never really had the opportunity to really indulge in. So Monday, I went to punk rock karaoke at the Space Bar, which was an interesting time. You know, if it's karaoke, for God's sake, you know, there's not really too much you can do. But, you know, sang a couple of songs and basically just kind of hung out by myself and kind of got a feel for the place. I will say that the star achievement of the night went to the incredibly tattooed man. I mean, he had a tattoo of a spider on top of his head and he had centipedes along his jawlines, who did a performance of Jack and Diane by John Cougar Mellencamp, of which, you know, there is the line of sucking on chili dogs. He brought one on stage with him and proceeded to just cram it in his mouth as he was singing the song. So if you're the kind of person that doesn't like it when people talk while they're eating, you probably wouldn't have been into it, but it was pretty fucking funny. But yeah, no, I was there from like 10 o'clock until about almost 2 in the morning. So, you know, I did that on Monday. Tuesday didn't really do much of anything. Wednesday was Christmas, of course. And for Christmas, I went to Studio 35 and saw the movie Nosferatu that had just come out. And I really enjoyed it. I won't get into too much of it because the movie is just now out and I don't want to really, you know, give spoilers or anything. But to me, like, that's classic horror in that it's incredibly atmospheric. It was so dark and dim. Nobody's having a good time in Nosferatu, that's for fucking sure. But I think ultimately what I enjoyed about the experience was like the assortment of people that were in the theater. It was a full theater, which really threw me off for Christmas. I was not anticipating a large group of people, but there were a lot of weirdos and goth kids, because as you would assume, vampires, that's what they draw. And there were also families, and that was really interesting. Like, I don't know if it's just like an annual tradition for them or not to go to the movie theater on Christmas Day and see whatever's there, but it was interesting. I will say that a star achievement in that one was this married couple and their children were sitting behind me. And about 5-10 minutes into the movie, the wife looked over at the husband and said, "Is this a remake?" And it's like, I mean, yeah, it's basically Dracula. Every rendition of Dracula is technically a remake, unless you're going all the way back to the very first one, which, of course, I believe was the original Nosferatu. But yeah, no, it was a really interesting time. From there, I walked home Thursday night. I went to a drag and burlesque, basically open mic that was essentially a competition. So, you know, I live in a really strange neighborhood. A lot of weirdos, a lot of art here, which I enjoy. And so this was at the Ace of Cups, and Columbus has a very, very big drag scene. And it seems that our specialty is alternative drag. So, you know, there were people performing, and they essentially looked like monsters, which is, you know, like part of the fun. So, you know, on Wednesday night, I saw a monster movie, and then Thursday, I watched several monsters do lip syncs to songs I would not otherwise listen to because, yeah. It's also incredibly lewd. And very uncouth, as a proper person may say. A lot of dick jokes, a lot of pussy jokes, a lot of just crude sexual humor in general. So, you know, that was a good time. I stayed for a couple hours on that one. And it was, you know, like you said, it was a good time. Crowd was interesting. Again, an assortment of weirdos, and that's what we love to see here in my neighborhood. We love an assortment of weirdos. And then last night, which is Friday night, I went to Goth Night at the Space Bar. And not many people know this about me. I really, really enjoy dancing. So if there's like a Goth Night, I will go for the entire duration of it. It usually goes from like 10 to 2. So I will go and I will dance and I will leave tired and very, very sweaty and call it a good night. So I usually go to Goth Night at the Ace of Cups, which is referred to as Cathedral. It's usually massive, lots and lots of people there. They have a very spacious, you know, open area because they do a lot of shows and concerts there. And yeah, there's always a lot of people. It's dark. There's lasers and fog and this pounding like EDM. And every now and then they'll throw you a bone and they'll play you some like vintage, like 80s, like goth music, you know, whether that be like Susie and the Banshees or The Cure, which people would know that I'm a big fan of. And but I will tell you this, that at the Space Bar, it's referred to as church. And that's because the Space Bar is a little smaller. So, you know, great play on words there. But because of that, I did notice that there were not as many people actively dancing. Most of the crowd ran older and they were just kind of in the bar area. So, you know, that was a good time seeing the elder goths of the neighborhood just kind of in their element. I ended up staying for a few hours and walked home from there. And now I've got like, you know, that was the assignment for the week, is see what's going on in the neighborhood. And again, it makes me kind of happy that I live in this weirdo eclectic neighborhood. I know I'm not going to be here my entire life, so I just kind of want to enjoy it while I'm there. You know, and ultimately, I think that's the plan, is I don't want to be here, you know, in my entire life. I've lived in the same apartment for 10 years now in Columbus, and I don't mind it, but I think there's this big part of me that's kind of like looking to something else, you know, goals and future things that I'd like to see happen. So yeah, I guess, you know, the takeaway from the experiment of spending Christmas alone was, all right, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do stuff and kind of just take it all in. You know, I was alone the entire time. I remember earlier in the year, and I think I did an episode on this. I'm pretty sure I did. I went to Sad Boys, which is an emo kind of dance party that they have at the Ace of Cups. And like, while I enjoyed it, I felt really awkward and really alone the entire time. And I did not have that experience at any of these things I went to. I don't know if that's growth. I don't know if that's just kind of being in a better headspace. But I think there is a difference between being alone and being lonely. And I think that is perfectly illustrated there. Like, I could have stayed the entire night and danced if I wanted to, but I can't have too many late nights in a row. Plus, I have also started going to a gym, like a real gym, as one of my coworkers said. I had like this gym membership to this place called Snap, and their gimmick is, you know, 24/7. So you would buzz in like at 4 o'clock in the morning, which I've done several times, and go work out and then go to work. And the crowd there was very kind of mixed. So, you know, a lot of the people there were your sort of late middle age, you know, early elder years, people on treadmills and ellipticals. And you had some younger folks in there, but the gym ultimately was pretty damn small. So I received notification that they were closing that gym and they were going to be moving it up into Worthington, which is a much longer commute for me because that's like a couple miles up the road. And the whole reason I chose Snap to begin with was because it was walkable, because I'm a walker. I'm a walker. A walker, damn it. Walker, Texas Ranger. I don't know why I fucking did that. Anyway, I ended up going to the other close gym, which is an independent gym, not part of a chain, called Spark Society. And they have like lightning bolt motifs, and they're a very, very big gym. And I was like, well, I'll check them out. And they were considerably more expensive, but you know, I just paid the yearly rate and just got that over with. Anyway, long story short, I got the tour when I first went over there. And this kind of, you know, maybe 20, 21-year-old girl, you know, guided me around the facility. Like I said, place is massive. They have every sort of equipment and free weight you could think of. And all over the walls are banners and, like, motivational sayings and stuff. And, like, there's that sort of, like, gruff, like, really kind of masculine thing of, like, rules of the gym. Be respectful. Clean up your shit. Pick up your shit. Don't make a lot of fucking noise. You know, like, that's written on the wall, you know? And, like, there's a certain amount of equipment. There's, like, a big picture of a peach on it that just says, be a badass with a nice ass, you know, like just like people who are like super in that, like the mindset, the grind, you know, that kind of deal. And I'm not going to make fun of anyone for that. If that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do. I'm just saying it's not necessarily for me. So I'm getting the tour of this place and she goes there. All right, over here is the girls' locker room. I'm like, all right, cool. Girls' locker room, noted. And she turns to me and says, we do not have a men's locker room. And I went, oh, okay. She's like, we do have a men's room that you can change in if you need to, but let me show you what we have instead of a men's locker room. So she leads me into this room. Well, A, there's like a stretching, like recovery room. It's all like pads and foam rollers and stuff like that. But then we take a right turn where the men's locker room would be. And I walk into this area that is surrounded entirely with mirrors. And the lighting is very dynamic. And she goes, this is the posing room. And I just remember my response was like, beg pardon? And she's like, yeah, the posing room. Like, after your workout, you can come in here. And she points out there's kind of like these dots on the ground that you can stand at for like optimal lighting. And you can like take pictures and hashtag the gym. And when you post it on social, we'll reshare it. And this is sort of like where you can track your progress. And it's like, hey, that's cool if that's your thing. I mean, yeah, go for it. If that's, you know, because I will tell you this, there's some fucking monsters at this gym. And like, that's how I knew this place was serious. There are some huge people who work there, just people who are built like Sherman tanks, both men and women alike. And I'm just saying that the posing room is not necessarily for me. And I probably would have appreciated a locker room a little bit more. Not my call. So, you know, I thanked her and I came back a little bit later because I'll get on this later. I got some tattoos very recently, so I wanted to make sure those were healed up to a degree that I could work out without like fucking them up. So I went back to the gym after the tattoos had healed to a reasonable degree. And because I didn't know where the locker room was, I did not know where to put my stuff. So because I am walking, I'm having to wear clothes over my workout attire. Because my workout attire are these, you know, kind of short shorts that are like an odd color camouflage that were put out by a great hardcore band called God's Hate. And like a tank top that usually has like Dungeons and Dragons or something grim on them. And, of course, I also wear a bandana around my neck because I'm a little bit of a bandit. What can I say? I'll steal your heart. Okay, never mind. Anyway, so because of that, like, I took all, like, the jeans I was wearing over this and the sweatshirt off, and I had no fucking clue where to put them. It was not readily apparent. So I'm kind of looking around the gym going, all right, who is in the middle of something? Or who is not in the middle of something that I can ask them a question and A, not bother them, or B, look like a dick? So thankfully there was this woman who was just approaching the free weights and I was able to get her attention and I was like, hi, I don't know where to put this stuff. And she says, oh yeah, come over here. And she like leads me toward this wall of cubbies. Mind you, this woman is like 6'2 and just jacked as all hell. And I felt like I was being taken by the hand by this Amazonian woman and like led like, oh, thank you, giant woman, for showing me the way. And I put my stuff in and I started to work out. And I was telling someone this and I was like, you know, this is the kind of gym where I'm not looking at anyone. I'm just keeping my eyes, you know, to myself and focusing on what I need to do. And their response was like, well, I mean, are you intimidated? And I was like, well, no, I'm not intimidated. I just don't want to gawk at people. Because, like, if I see a dude who's, like, you know, muscle on muscle on muscle, that he looks like a human fucking action figure, I'm probably going to stare for a bit, because it's like, how are you real? You know, I know how you're real. It's like, you know, dedication and work and what have you. But just, like I said, serious gym. I went back yesterday, actually, and that was part of the reason why I didn't stay super long at Goth Night. And I got a good workout in, and I feel like shit today. Like, sore arms hurt real bad, you know. So I did not want to stay out super fucking late on top of that. But yeah, no, that was kind of the deal. I've been working with my therapist on stuff like that, because everybody has their sort of security devices. They have their things that they go back to when they aren't feeling super hot. And for me, I isolate really, really bad. It is a strength and a weakness. Because I think it takes a lot to be okay with yourself. You know, because if you're, like, the only voice in your head, how do you maintain that? Like, how do you handle it? And so, you know, that has a negative side as well. And that negative side is, for all intents and purposes, I become a shut-in and maybe borderline agoraphobic. Not that I'm, like, afraid of leaving the house or anything. It's just I don't do it. So my therapist and I were working on, like, getting out there. And I think that's, you know, essentially what I did this week, was get out there and experience my neighborhood for what it's worth. Going to the weirdo real gym where there's, you know, gods among us. Or going to the weird art shows and performances and dance nights and stuff of my neighborhood, because there are quite a lot of them. And, you know, I don't, you know, I guess mission accomplished, I suppose, if you want to say anything about that. But I mentioned that I got some tattoos recently. I finally got my other elbow done. So for those who do not know, I have 20 tattoos now. They run up and down from my shoulder down to my wrists. And on my left elbow, I've had a flower. It's a daisy. That is in tribute to the band The Cardiacs from the UK. Very weird art influential group. I did a whole episode on them. They're beautiful and weird, and you should check them out if you want. On top of that, I got, you know, that's not the new one by any means. But I got, you know, a lyrics to Smash It Up by The Damned, which I've covered, and I got, like, a Friday the 13th tombstone, because they were doing, like, $13 tattoos. I've never had, like, one of those gimmick flash tattoos, so I was like, fuck it, I'll go ahead and give it a shot and see what it's like. Wasn't that bad. My tattoo artist was a beautiful young man. He was a little heavy-handed, though. Like, for as small a tattoo it is, he really dug in deep and kind of hurt. But, you know, I did find out that he has only been doing this for around a year, so I get it. You know, practice and time make perfect. Meanwhile, my regular artist, Anna, who I thoroughly enjoy, I've been seeing Anna for like 2 years. She's responsible for 17 of the 20 tattoos I have, basically. Anna helped me come up with a design for a flail. A friend of mine gave me the idea to get a flail tattooed on my elbow. So a flail, you know, of course, is the spiked metal ball with a chain and a hilt. And so that's what I have on my right elbow. And Anna helped me come up with the design for it. And we worked on that. And what I like about Anna, I mean, this thing is huge. She's probably the biggest tattoo I have. It runs from my elbow almost all the way up to my shoulder on my right side. What I like about Anna is Anna has been doing this so long that it heals very, very quickly. It looks fucking phenomenal. And also, and I posted a picture of it on the Large Old Cup Instagram, but she does this design. She cross-hatches it by my request, because I think it looks better. It looks very, like, almost medieval and kind of like a wood carving almost. So I love it when Anna, like, cross-hatches any of my tattoos. So it looks really good. And here's the thing. It took me such a long time to get my right elbow tattooed because it is probably the most painful tattoo I've had so far on my left and my right side, because there's not really anywhere you can go. It is just bone. So for about 2.5 hours, it's just grinning and bearing it as somebody is essentially carving into you. And it hurts like a bitch. But my attitude about it is it's only going to hurt once and then it's done. So, you know, that's how I got my right flail. So, yeah, in the last few weeks, I've gotten my nose pierced twice. I got 3 new tattoos. I've been out in the neighborhood and embracing how weird Clintonville is. Clintonville is the neighborhood I'm in Columbus. And I have physically gone about trying to improve myself through diet and exercise again. And I think it's having results. I'm pretty sure it is. There's sort of quantifiable methods of observing and seeing. But all of this is a follow-up to not the last episode, but the episode before that, on the relaunch aspect. Because the relaunch is important. I want to get it right. You know, and I know that I'm not going to get it 100% right. This is going to be a trial and error thing. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to overcommit to things. I'm going to undercommit to other things. Priorities are going to shift, you know, and who really knows where the future lies. And that's kind of the beauty and the fun of it, because it's embracing uncertainty and embracing chaos to a degree, which is something I was always really reluctant to do. I'm a creature of habit. I love routine. I was listening back to a previous episode, and I go into detail about how much I love routine and how sometimes it's the only thing that keeps me sane. And while mental health is very important, I think sometimes I need to be insane for a little bit of time. I need to embrace that sort of sense of chaos. I need to embrace the feeling of not knowing what's going to happen or anything like that, because that leads to stagnation. And stagnation is what led me to the point that I find myself in currently. You know, kind of like in Grant Morrison's book that I quoted, you know, I found my character to be ill-fitting and not going anywhere. And so I could either stay on that trajectory of feeling ill-fitting and not going anywhere, or I can shake things up and see what happens. Last week, a week ago actually, I was at Punk Rock Pawn Shop, which is also at the Ace of Cups. And basically it is an art show for local artists, because my work location changed and my view has dramatically worsened. I used to have a gorgeous view of the Scioto River, and now I have the gorgeous view of a 4-foot tall, or I think it's like a 5-foot tall cubicle wall. Because that's corporate America for you. Brutalism. You know, let's put you in tan and beige and sepia and try not to drive yourself fucking crazy. So I kind of went about the attitude of like, fuck it, if you're going to put me here, I'm going to get all sorts of weird and morbid shit to put in this cube to make it mine. So that's what I did. I ended up going to Punk Rock Pawn Shop, spent like probably too much money, but I got a lot of really fun prints and things like that. And there was a man selling patches and pins for like bands and pop culture stuff. And I noticed he had a big patch for the band Youth of Today. So Youth of Today is from a genre of hardcore from the 90s called Youth Crew. And the whole point of Youth Crew was that it was sort of like a more positive straight edge. And it gets a lot of people who are not super crazy about that kind of optimism in their music. But, you know, they're, like I said, they're a straight edge band. And I saw it and I was a little bit transfixed. I was drinking a beer at the time, so I did not want to buy a patch for straight edge band while I very clearly had alcohol in my hands. But I just thought that was super interesting. Because one of Youth of Today's songs is called Wake Up and Live. And that's essentially what this relaunch has been about. It's about, you know, trying not to let life slip me by. And someone I know who's very near and dear to me, they have a bio on their Discord app. And in their bio are words that I find to be very motivational, whether or not they realize that or not about it. But the words are, be fearless in the pursuit of what sets your soul on fire. You know, and that in conjunction with, if there's a path in front of you that scares you, that's probably the path you need to go on, because that's going to be the path with the most growth. And as I look into this relaunch, that's becoming apparent to me that I need to embrace uncertainty and embrace chaos and go down the path that scares me. Because again, that's going to be where the most growth is. There was a lot of like hardcore bands that like really embrace that whole like, you only have so much time to live. You only have so much time to do what you want to do. So what are you waiting for? Go out and get it, you know? And you know, I'll name fucking three right now. I already mentioned Wake Up and Live by Youth of Today, Waiting Room by Fugazi, and there is a song by Rollins Band. I can't remember it, but it's essentially like there is no future time. There is no past time. There is just time, and that is what is going on right here, right now, and you got to go for it. And I guess that plays into, I mentioned this earlier. There's these videos it is a video of a man basically saying, like, if you want to be alive, you have to stake everything in today. Because if you think about the past, you're only going to get mad at the things you didn't do. And if you look into the future, you're just going to be worried about the things that haven't happened yet. So you have to embrace today. And, you know, again, as I'm looking more and more at this concept of the relaunch and what we're working for and what we're striving for, that has become a grounding presence, because that uncertainty is really kind of scary, you know, and that's not going to not be scary ever, I don't think. And it's something I'm just accepting that, you know, there is going to be paths in front of me, and maybe the one that scares me the most is the one I need to take. In fact, I think I know that it's the one I need to take. So we are, we're aiming for that. I want to say, I appreciate people who are listening to this. My friend who gave me a lot of advice on promoting the show better, you know, and unparalleled help from Samantha. She's been fantastic about it. I think that has helped. I think we have some new listeners. I have another friend who I've not spoken to recently who checked out the show and reached out to me. And this is a shout out to Amanda Lee, who a very dear friend of mine from high school. And this is our way of, I guess, getting back in touch. And I appreciate that opportunity. So I've already mentioned a bunch of songs today, but I'll throw out another one. Song recommendation of the week. We'll go with Dead Ramones by the band Modern Life is War. There's a line in it that I always find particularly inspiring, which is, we're not pretty and we're not rich. We're going to have to fucking work for it. And I think that's beautiful. So stay recklessly brave, be delusionally confident, and enjoy yourself out there. I'll see you guys next week. Later.